of liquid zeolite.
There's been a breakthrough. We have breaking news. The NFL Players Association is going to cut a deal in the morning, and we will have football. Woohoo! As for the debt ceiling, I don't know what's going to happen there. It's a standoff, a stalemate, and every other adjective you want to use in between. Hope you had a great weekend. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up on this hour of ATN, we're going to explore something pretty interesting. Jim Jones and that whole cult and how people were sucked into that. And some of the information that's not really out there, in fact at all, in wide release, connecting the dots. I like the idea of connecting the dots and taking it back as to why wasn't anything ever said about Jim Jones until it was out of control and the massacre in Guyana happened and all the people drank the Kool-Aid. And what did we learn from that? I mean, ultimately, what do you learn when something like that happens? And have we learned anything? Yeah. Quickly, the NFL Players Association, I mentioned this, that finally it looks like they're going to do that. They've got to refine a few points in the deal, but I got a text a few minutes ago saying it's looking pretty good. You got to have a majority vote from the players. However, it's just a formality from what I understand, and it should be closed, and should be closed on a Monday. The owners, of course, did this last week, 31-0. There was one abstention, and they said, you know, boom, here it is. So now what happens with the NFL Players Association? Like I said, I heard it's going to be a wrap. We move back to the debt ceiling for a quick second here. I know. I promise I will not focus on it the entire time here on America Tonight. I give you my word on that. But John Boehner made the Sunday circuit. On Sunday, it's the big day for political talk, certainly, as you know, and cable television, the talking heads, and on CBS and ABC and all the others, NBC. So John Boehner said that a two-step process to raise the debt ceiling seems to be inevitable. Here's some more stuff.
It'd be pretty hard to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But my last offer is still out there. As I look at trying to put together a plan with my colleagues, I'm going to work within the framework of cut, cap, and balance, because those are the three things that have to happen if we're going to instill confidence in our economy. I don't want to see default. I don't frankly want to get anywhere close to it.
All right, so don't want to get anywhere close to it. And there's a way to avoid that. There's enough revenue coming in that they could pay that interest, but I guess it doesn't seem to be the direction and the threats anyway of where that's headed. August 2nd ultimately will be the day that some sort of decision will be made or pushed off, I guess. We'll see. In Norway, it's not about seeing, it's about mourning. Sadly, the people who were killed on Friday as a result of a lone wolf terrorist who says he was acting in an effort to point out what was wrong with his country in letting Muslims immigrate to Norway. In fact, he had a 1,500-page manifesto where he rambled on about that. And just 32 years old, Anders Breivik said, I'll be there to explain myself at the court hearing to extend his custody is what the hearing is about. What he did was he did a couple of things. One, set off a car bomb that killed 7 to 8 people. And then he went to an island where there was a summer camp of the youth wing of Norway's ruling Labour Party, and he shot the people there. It was just a small island northwest of Oslo, and he killed the majority of people there, I want to say it was 85 people or so, there was actually so many more people on that island. When he arrived wearing a police uniform, started opening fire, there were about, they say, 600-plus people there. And the police say it took them an hour from when they were first alerted that the massacre was going on to be able to apprehend them, because they had a decision as to what to do on an island. So think about it. They didn't, equipment-wise, they were looking for a boat. So that was part of the problem. By the time they were able to get there, that it was too late for some of the many that were shot and killed on the scene, and then some that were eventually wounded. There were people that were rescued that they describe as being terrified, and they rescued as many people as they could. And Breivik, like I mentioned, is a guy who put out this rambling manifesto, kind of reminding you of the Unabomber, and it was written in English, describing his philosophy and how he planned on killing people and making explosives. So he said, once you decide to strike, it's better to kill too many than not enough, or you risk reducing the desired ideological impact of the strike. And so you get the road that he was going down there. And he talked about Muslims and Islam throughout the entire thing. So, and immigration, by the way, in Norway. Norway's been open to immigration, I think, since the beginning of Norway, since the beginning of the country. And often they get slammed by that, for doing that from the opposite party. And he was definitely that guy. Whew. But when I first heard of what had happened, I have to tell you, what is the thing that we always think, ooh, here it is, that terrorist attack that everybody's talking about, and guess what? Of all places, it hits Norway. And I was thinking, ooh, Norway, progressive, okay, so that's why they would hit there. But luckily, that wasn't the case, but certainly now there's going to be beefed up security that's already been talked about. The way of life will be changed a little bit anyway from how they knew it before in Norway. So how sad is that? Mm. Speaking of sad, she did have a very unique sound. She had a unique voice. Amy Winehouse is dead at the age of 27. They found her body in her London place, and she had a strong, strong addiction to pills and booze, and had been to rehab many, many times, but had won, just a handful of years ago, 5 Grammys, and was known for a song called Rehab. Definitely had a lot of fans, a lot of people pulling for her, but apparently she just couldn't make it. Sad. All right, stay with us. We're going to turn it over to the B-side.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you're hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Hi, this is Steve Shank and Babs Rosberg with eFoods Direct. Babs, you work a lot with shipping, and things are going absolutely nuts with this new Independence Month Patriot Pack that eFoods is giving away.
The way things are going, we're shipping thousands of these great little Patriot Packs out. Just an example, Sherry from Arkansas made a $1,300 order. We shipped her five free Patriot Packs, $750 more free food.
Folks are really surprised at what we're actually giving away. Now, folks, we've had 235 years of freedom in this country, so for every $235 worth of food ordered, we give away a $149 Patriot Pack free.
To order the best food on the planet, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
A free 12-day supply Patriot Pack with every $235 worth of food ordered. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Our next guest credentials. David Kahn was part of the Defense Department as a liaison with the West Coast Navy and Air Force bases. Boy, I bet some interesting things happened there. And the Defense Department and a bunch of other industrial transportation companies. My mind is racing. And then check this out, too. Also a lead analyst with Chevron's Environmental Labs. In the meantime, when he's not doing all of that, when he wasn't doing all that, he's all about finding out about cults. David Kahn is an expert on cult mentalities. And you might have heard of this book, The Cult That Died. He co-authored that one. And then he's got this novel out called Ledendorff's Dilemma. And, of course, we have talked about this many, many times here on America Tonight. What is it that leads people to get sucked into various cults, and especially Jonestown? We've talked about that many, many times here on ATN throughout the years. So it is a pleasure to welcome him to the show. David, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be aboard.
Let's talk about Jonestown first. I said that it's sad but true. You know, this phrase came out of that, oh, don't drink the Kool-Aid or whatever about the Kool-Aid. And when you go back, and certainly you've done so much on that, when you go back and you look at Jim Jones and who this guy was, what was it about him that led him to the position where so many people just followed him and were willing to do that and give up everything else? What was it about Jones? Was he charismatic?
Yes, he had a remarkable speaking ability. He was also very charismatic, and he was narcissistically driven to rise to as much power as he could. He made all the connections possible with politicians and high church people. You know, The vast part of the Jonestown history has not made it to the public. Since you've talked about it a lot on your show over the years, I suppose, mm-hmm. I thought it would be interesting to talk about the aspects that are just not really well known to the public at all.
Yeah, what would you say is the number one thing? Give us a sketch of what people don't know about that.
Okay. For one example, of the hundreds of books and articles written on Jonestown since then, not one of them dealt with that key moment when Jones was hit with the realization that he could no longer sustain his charade. That's just absolutely unknown, and there are some people have speculated to me under why that isn't known, and that main thing when it hit him happened when I made a major error in my investigation, and that was when I saw the American Indian leader Dennis Banks had his picture taken with Jim Jones, and I thought there was a possibility of maybe warning him away from Jones. Well, it turns out that he was closer to Jones than I thought, and so I met with him through a very close friend, a Seminole Indian, full-blooded Seminole Indian. And he then knew a leader, one of the leaders of another American Indian movement, that was Lyman Brightman, who was very close to Jones. So we made that connection. And on March 22nd, 1977, we finally had to set up a meeting, a midnight meeting. And I unloaded the whole story of my investigation and all the stuff I had found out. And Dennis Banks, he listened carefully, and then it turned out after 3 hours of just unloading all the stuff, and also mentioning that I had been in contact with one federal agent. The upshot was, after 3 hours, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we left the meeting, and the very next day, Dennis Banks took that information to Jones, and Jones then let me know that he knew about me. Ooh. And I went into hiding for 18 months.
Ooh.
And then Jones didn't go public with that for quite a few weeks. He kept it private, except letting me know and a few of my sources. And but finally, he realized that the government was going to be involved, and he just got all mixed up. He confused the agent that I was in touch with, which was alcohol, beverage, and firearms agent. I didn't mention specifically what agent I was in touch with. He thought that it was an IRS agent, and then he really thought that he was in deep trouble, and that's why he tried desperately then, after a few weeks, finally came out to the public in the San Francisco media and television and newspapers and tried to bring me down as some crazy guy that was trying to destroy his cult. And that's when the media in San Francisco first took real notice of this man in a serious way. It's like they saw a very strange reaction on his part. And from then on, I was in touch with major journalists in San Francisco. and then, of course, that's when Jones made his preparations to leave the country. And then Congressman Ryan, a couple of my sources got in touch with Congressman Ryan, who decided he would go down there and look into it. And when I found out that Congressman Ryan decided to go all the way out to the Jonestown colony, that's when I got in touch with the journalist that I had been working with the San Francisco Examiner, Nancy Dooley. And I told her, I said, we've got some way, if possible, to stop the congressman, because I said, I know that Jones has some plan of action. I've studied his mind for almost 9 years, and I know that he's desperate and he's got some plan of action. And I told her specifically that Ryan is not going to come out of South America alive. And I told many other people that. And
wow.
The thing that that I find interesting is that this behind-the-scenes story has been kept out of all the books and articles, it's very, very strange, but it was suggested to me that most of the writers of the books and articles were mm-hmm. liberals, and they didn't like the idea of even mentioning that some layperson was investigating Jones for almost 9 years, and it's like it bothered them for some way to even admit that they wanted to make it look like they had discovered this in recent months. I did get in touch with one reporter early on in 1972 mm-hmm. With Lester Kinsolving. He was a good, solid, honest journalist.
Sure.
And
I know who Lester is, yeah.
Yeah, and when he saw what I had come up with, he really started digging in then, and then he ended up writing 8 articles for the San Francisco Examiner. And after the first 4 articles came out, Jones found out about it. He was still up in Redwood Valley, not too much time spent in San Francisco area. When he found out about that, he brought hundreds of his cult members down, and they surrounded the San Francisco Examiner, and Jones threatened lawsuits and all that. And the Examiner pulled the last 4 articles. But here's my point. Regarding that, the Examiner articles. Later on, several years later, after I was exposed, and then the media came into the situation because of Jones's reaction to mm-hmm. me trying to destroy me. That's when the politicians all started backing off a little bit, except the mayor of San Francisco. He defended Jones right up till the mass slaughter down there. But when they saw that, they started backing off. But the key thing that hasn't come out is that every one of those major politicians in the San Francisco area, every one of them, could easily have gone back and read all of those articles on
Jones.
And
they knew. Yeah, and they could have known and could have done something, perhaps.
They chose not to because they were politically in bed with him and needed him even more than he needed them.
Yeah. David, hang on a second. We need to step aside, and then we're going to come back with this. We're speaking with David Kahn, of course, about Jim Jones, in Guyana and what happened there and what led up to that and things that could have happened certainly differently. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
David Kahn, and we're talking about a lot of things that people didn't know about Jim Jones and, of course, what led to Guyana, why some of that information that was right there at the fingertips of even a lot of politicians, why that wasn't widely distributed. And then it makes you wonder, you got to start to think, could this guy have been stopped? I mean, there's a question, David. Do you believe Jim Jones could have been stopped and it didn't have to lead to that tragedy?
Yes, he could have been stopped. In fact, any number of contacts I made, if they had paid attention and really looked into it, Van Amberg, a major broadcaster, television broadcaster in San Francisco, I made almost a contact with him. I left him a message, and I said, I'm going to tell you a horrible thing that's going on, and you can check with an attorney friend of mine who works for the county of Alameda. And I gave him his phone number, and I said, you know, if you will just follow through on this, we'll both be shocked beyond our sense of reasoning. And Van Amberg never followed through with a phone call. I talked with him a few months after the Jonestown massacre, and he said, if I'd only known, maybe we could have prevented it. That's all he said. He could not give an excuse why he would not call this attorney and get the backup. I told him it was a horrible thing that was going to happen. You know, by the way, I want to mention my website. People can read some of this, some of these details on my website.
Sure.
And it's www.truthsleuth.net. That's truth, SLEUTH.net. And I'd advise them to read one article in there, the downfall of Jim Jones, written by this very attorney that I had referred this broadcaster to. And now we were going to mention just a couple of other things. One of the key things, absolutely, this is unknown to the public, because people wondered, how did Jim Jones make it all those years? That's
sure.
The big question.
Yeah, absolutely.
9 years he went. Well, he went 7 years before I was informed on, and then it began to come out. But the Disciples of Christ, the seventh largest denomination in the country, he attached himself to them when he found out that they were very liberal, and also allowed the local congregations to have their own autonomy. That he saw was just brilliantly to his favor. He could attach himself to a major church denomination and still operate his cult on the level and keep the hierarchy out from seeing what was really going on. Now, the other thing that has not come out to the public is the reason he could do that is because he had a lot of data on the Disciples of Christ. They were I did an interview with a major theologian at the Pacific School of Religion, whom they came to for some help in a kind of reordering and restructuring a new mission and stuff. But when he found out what they really were, he told them he wanted nothing more to do with them at all. Because when he saw that that their ministers, that were all very liberal, they're almost like radical left-wing politicians, and they had retreats up in the Sierra Mountains, and where they got into smoking dope and sex and dope and wife swapping. And when this major theologian heard of that, I interviewed him for 45 minutes just after Jonestown. He said he was just astounded. And he said that they all got off into a political thing, and they didn't care about Jesus Christ or God or anything. That their main thrust was just political. And so, with that major denomination and their regional president always coming to his aid whenever there was any sign that he was going to be looked into, then the public saw that here's this major theologian, general
sure.
president of the Disciples, who
sure.
defended him and kept saying what a wonderful person he was. Then he got carried through. And then the politicians in San Francisco also used that as an excuse to continue to support Jones, because he's the one got the big politicians elected. And he also committed voter fraud. Hundreds of his cult members voted at various precincts, and the mayor ended up saying he knew he wouldn't have been elected without the help of Jones. Now,
right, so that's
another
at.
Major thing that the public has very little knowledge of.
Sure, tell us.
And that's the Speaker of the House in California, Willie Brown, a very famous politician,
sure.
nationally known.
Yeah.
It's not known that Willie Brown was the key person who set up a process that would allow the mayor of San Francisco to bypass the Board of Supervisors and appoint Jim Jones directly to the head of San Francisco Housing Commission. And when I confronted Willie Brown only 18 months ago at a meeting here in Sacramento, Dr. Frank Luntz was at this meeting also. In fact, he and Willie Brown were the major participants in it. And there were about 50 people there. I was in the front row listening to this. And when Dr. Luntz said to Willie Brown, he said, Mr. Speaker, I'd like you to be candid on this point. And then that's when the speaker interrupted Dr. Luntz and said, I want you to know, Dr. Luntz, that I am always candid. That's when I thought, well, I'll have to step in here. So a few minutes later, I raised my hand and I said to Dr. Luntz, I'd like to follow through on the speaker's suggestion that he's always candid. And then I turned to Speaker Brown and I said, Mr. Speaker, you know, back during the Jim Jones reign in San Francisco, there was one person, a young assemblyman, whom the mayor had go to the legislature and push through a special bill, an assembly bill, that would allow the mayor to appoint Jim Jones directly and by bypassing the Board of Supervisors. And I had that bill in my file. And when I said this, and I said, Mr. Speaker, I said, you and I both know who that politician was, don't we? He looked at me and he said, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Of course he didn't.
I went to him after the meeting, put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, Mr. Speaker, I think it's pretty sad that you're, of course, I can understand it, why you wouldn't want to admit that you were the person who really was the key element that got the mayor to appoint Jones directly to the head of the Housing Commission. There's also other things that the public rarely has heard, and that's Harvey Milk, for example, who they made the big movie on.
Yeah.
It was never mentioned once in that movie, Harvey Milk's close ties to Jim Jones. Obviously, that wouldn't have helped the movie much.
Sure.
But the public doesn't know that Harvey Milk wrote a letter to President Carter at the time, in the last few weeks of Jones's reign down there in Guyana, praising Jim Jones and wanting the President Carter to know that Jim Jones was just being mistreated and all that. It's an astounding letter, but the public doesn't know about it.
Mm-mm.
They also don't know little of anything that you see. I've always said, when people came to me, I said, and they asked, what was the meaning of Jonestown?
Sure.
And I said, the real meaning is that since all these politicians could go that long and not connect to what was really going on, I said, that same, it's a cult mentality that allows them to continue to support Jones. And I said, that mentality is going to grow and grow and will eventually arise to a grand national level. And we will see the reemergence of it on a grand national level. And I believe that that's what happened in 2007. And I warned people for 30 years almost that it's not over. Jonestown is still with us. For example, it continued in California and grew to an enormously, radically crazy left-wing system in California that's just bizarre as you can imagine.
I know what you're talking about with certainly what's happened with the state too. When you talk about what's going on with the bankruptcy and some of the things that have happened, it seems like one domino falls and then another one suddenly appears.
Yes.
And you see that repeated pattern. David, we're almost out of time. I'd love to have you back on again. I can tell you're so passionate about this, and I think your information is great. I'm sure you've perked up a few people as to, hey, this is what, here's some of the things that really happened there, and of course, looking to not having these things happen in the future, and what can we do to tell everybody about the red flags, look around you, pay attention.
Now,
tell everybody your website again.
It's truthsleuth.net.
Truthsleuth.net. Check it
and
out, because there's more.
My book can be purchased on Amazon, Lednorf's Dilemma. You can get that on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good.
Anyway, I'd be happy to come back sometime, because there's so much unknown stuff about this. In fact, it's astounding that the history books have just left it all out.
Glossed over it. Great. We'll talk to you again, and we appreciate it, David, again. You can tell that he obviously had been very, very involved with this, and he talked about going into hiding for 18 months. And, in fact, when Jim Jones rose to power, Khan left the Disciples of Church right before that happened, the California branch, but friends and family who were concerned asked him to start to investigate the People's Temple. That's what he did, and that's how he got involved in all of that. Stay with us. Rerack next.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite.
Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Still entrenched in Libya. Muammar Gaddafi, we've been talking about it way before this happened, of course. And now Libya and U.S. officials say that the two governments actually had some talks in Tunisia over the weekend. Washington is stepping away from some of the things that have been reported and saying really the point of the meeting was to demand that Muammar Gaddafi has to go. So what gives here? All kinds of things are happening. Who better to have on America Tonight than terrorism expert Jeff Attica? Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's always a great pleasure, Kate.
So what do you make of this weekend meeting? This has been so long. It's been like 4 months.
Yeah, if one word to describe the Obama administration in its most, and to be kind, it would be schizophrenic. It's incredible how the State Department contradicts the Department of Defense in many cases, which contradicts the president's view, and the NATO view is contradictory, and the so-called allies have their own view. The latest, of course, is the United States has indicated they're going to unilaterally recognize the rebels, even though we don't really know who the rebels are, as the legitimate government of Libya. But that doesn't really make much sense with their previous stand that this is a united effort and that the United Nations is the one that authorized the use of force in Libya to set up the no-fly zone. So why shouldn't it be the United Nations that steps forward and recognizes this rebel government instead of the United States doing it unilaterally by itself? It's simply not consistent. If your position is that this is a world effort and we're not leading, then why are we trying to lead in this next step with recognizing the rebels? That's the most troubling thing because it's is it today? Is it Monday? And what's our position? Is it Tuesday? What's our position? There's just no continuity, no consistency. Gaddafi's not going anywhere, and he's going to stay in power as long as he is able to maintain his military prowess. And NATO is going to run out of patience at some point. And, of course, at the end of the day, we're going to lose. If we don't kill Gaddafi, which would be illegal, in my opinion, under the use of force authorization, we've got to kill him to achieve victory because there's no other way to achieve victory. And unless we get real lucky, that's not going to happen. He's an expert at hiding in bunkers and moving about the city.
Yeah, and you think there's no way. I agree with you. You know much more than I do about the military X's and O's and the factors in this, but I there's no way this guy waves the flag. I don't know what they're talking about in France, saying, well, maybe he could still live. Did you hear that story? Maybe he could still be in Libya and step aside and not have the power and just still be there and let the people decide. He could just still hang out. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. The people, you know, it's absurd. He's a dictator. He's not going to let the people decide anything. He has supporters, and he has people that do not support him. And there's many, many people that do support Gaddafi. And, oh, by the way, as we pointed out on your show before, we are now killing civilians, the very people that we were saying that we wanted to protect and stop civilians from being killed. NATO's killed lots of civilians in the capital, Tripoli, and other areas that are on the side of Gaddafi. So we're clearly taking sides when we said that we weren't taking sides. We're clearly leading the effort when we said that we're not leading the effort. And we're clearly spending $1 billion of money that we do not have with no clear definition of victory, no clear indication of what we're doing, and still playing this game that is not war. You know, it's still like military kinetic activity. So it's just it's absolutely incredible that our own news media lets this administration get away with this type of buffoonery, and no one's really calling them on it.
Yeah, and getting dragged into this in the first place, part of this was he was certainly, the president I'm talking about, seemed to be goaded into it with what happened with the UN, right? Because that was after the UN decided to go after Gaddafi and what's going on in Libya for humanitarian reasons. That's when Obama kicked in, right?
Well, many people say that Obama views himself as the leader of the world because he consulted with NATO and the UN when he made the decision to go into Libya, not with our own Congress. You know, he's spending his time consulting with non-U.S. citizens to involve the American people, our money, and our military in a war and didn't consult with us. But, oh, he went out of his way to consult with NATO and the UN. So it's justified that many people are upset, particularly in Congress. Like, well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be our president. We don't want a leader of the world. We want a leader of this country.
Yeah, I agree. How much of NATO is the United States? We talk about this on America Tonight. If you looked at a pie chart and you had to say, how much is the U.S. anyway?
At least 85% of all the military and financial and logistical support in NATO is contributed by the United States. And that's one of the things that our Department of Defense has been very upset about, because NATO is really a shadow organization. We provide everything for it. The general right now that's in charge of NATO is a U.S. general. And part of the complaint by the United States has long been that, hey, NATO, you're not contributing anything to these conflicts in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, and Herzegovina. And now in Libya, you've got your name on there, and you're flying a couple of planes here and there. But without us supporting NATO, NATO would collapse. We are NATO.
Yeah, absolutely. We say that all the time on the air. People question that. It's like, no, that's what you don't realize when we say let NATO take care of it. Is that just because people don't realize how much of NATO we make up, as you said, especially when you talk about military and the dollars and all that? 85% is a very, very big number. You mentioned this in talking about the rebels, too. We don't even really know who the rebels are comprised of, right?
No. I mean, the rebels are slick, and we know that Benghazi, for example, which is the main headquarters, if you will, for the rebel factions. If you had to list the top 10 radical Islamic cities in the world, Benghazi would be in that list. It's a hotbed for radical Islam. And whatever you say about Gaddafi, and he is a bad guy, at least he was against the Al-Qaeda and radical Islam. He was more of a dictator in the pattern of Saddam Hussein. Bad guy, yeah, but they're not fomenting, exporting, advancing radical Islam. They are locking radical Islamic extremists up. They're killing them. And that's what Gaddafi was doing to maintain power. And now the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. And who's going to address the growth of radical Islam? They have freed thousands of hardcore Islamic radicals from the jails of Libya. And these guys are smart. When the cameras are rolling, they put forth a defected major or defected lieutenant colonel that was in the military who speaks English and seems very calm and collected and says all the right things about Washington and Jeffersonian liberties. But that's all a shell game. It's all a front. In my opinion, if Gaddafi ever does go, what will replace him will be far, far worse than Muammar Gaddafi in terms of what our interests are in the region.
Yeah. We can't let you go without talking about this, because you and I have been talking about this, I think, since the first conversation we ever had. You know, where's the end game in Pakistan? All these other marbles across the board, if you will, in the Middle East. But yet now we see the things that have been happening in Pakistan, and obviously the SI just riddled with corruption. What do you think the move should be there for the U.S.?
Well, I just wrote an op-ed, and I'm going to put it up on our website. It was posted on a Texas law enforcement website. It's going to be in a magazine. But basically, as we discussed before, President Obama had a golden opportunity for us to emerge out of this quagmire in Afghanistan with victory, and he had no idea what to do. When he addressed the American people about a month ago, he should have done the mission accomplished speech. President Bush closed down the al-Qaeda training camps. We're at war with al-Qaeda. They're the main enemy in the war on terror. And now we have killed Osama bin Laden. Mission accomplished. We are leaving Afghanistan as soon as practicable and get out as quickly as possible. And the world would buy that narrative, and they'd say, yeah, okay, we that sounds reasonable. You guys won. And the voices that say, you got to fix Afghanistan because it's the right thing to do. You've got to build these schools and do all this stuff. Those voices would be marginalized because that is a mission impossible. It's never going to happen. But instead, the president mumbled about having the Taliban included in a new government and withdrawing the 33,000 surge, non-surge, right before the elections. And then in a few years, we'll get everybody out. I guarantee you, even though the president doesn't know how to claim victory when it was given to him on a silver platter, the enemy will. The radicals will claim in a few years when we finally limp out the back door, we drove the Soviets out, we drove you out, and they will claim the victory. The narrative will be bought by the world, and they will recruit hundreds of thousands of new radicals to the flag of radical Islam, all because this president could not seize the opportunity of victory when it was given to him on a golden platter.
Yes, it'll be status quo and then beyond. As you said, declaring victory and then punting into the future and producing that more radicalized humans anti-Western.
95% of the people in Afghanistan that we're fighting, the Taliban, al-Qaeda, they can't read or write. So they don't get, they don't have Fox News and you to tell them the other side. All they hear is what they hear from the madrasas, and they'll see the Americans leaving, and they say, "Oh, I guess we won. Allah's on our side, and radical Islam is going to grow."
Yeah, Jeff Atticott, always insightful terrorism expert. Thanks so much for popping on to America Tonight.